This recording has been released into the public domain by the Bonson Institute, where we aim to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
I'd like to begin the second session this morning raising the question of fideism and rationality. And the reason I'm doing that is because I'm going to take another misconception of Dr. Van Til's apologetic and try to show you how it is misleading to people and what the genuine situation is. Often people think of presuppositionalism, and therefore Van Til's approach to apologetics, as being fideistic. And I want to take an example of that. John Warwick Montgomery says of Dr. Van Til's apologetic that it, quote, gives the unbeliever the impression that our gospel is ethically irrational as the presuppositional claims of its competitors. That is to say that our apologetic is a priori in its orientation. It does not appeal to man's experience and that which he can observe, but to those things which precede experience a priori, or basically are independent of experience and observation. And in particular, the a priori of Van Til is fideistic. And by fideistic, he means it is based in a decision of the will. It's based in the exercise of faith rather than the exercise of one's reason. And therefore, this a prioristic ethic is irrationalist, according to Montgomery. In the book Jerusalem and Athens, Clark Pinnock charges Van Til with being guilty of irrational fideism, to quote him, irrational fideism, which holds that truth in religion is ultimately based on faith rather than on reasoning or evidence. It is based on faith rather than on reasoning or evidence. Both Montgomery and Pinnock, I think, distort Van Til's view as the error of Karl Barth. That error being that belief cannot argue with unbelief. It is rather a voluntaristic position, an exercise of one's will, that, quote, demands the non-Christian make a total and ungrounded commitment. With a bewildering inaccuracy, Pinnock summarizes Van Til's approach to apologetics as being the fideistic combination of a bare authority claim and a bare religious experience claim. You have this bare claim about authority. God says you have to believe it, so you have to believe it, combined with, let me give you my testimony, I've had this experience of Jesus. And this is what Pinnock thinks Van Til's apologetic amounts to, because he's a presuppositionalist. He calls it fideistic irrationalism. Now, it's not just people like Pinnock and Montgomery, of course, who have said this. Those of you who are familiar with the work that comes out of the Ligonier Study Center, and let me just take a word to say thank you to the Lord for R.C. Sproul and John Gerstner and these wonderful men. They are our Christian brothers, and we're doing the same kind of thing. We want to worship the same God. We're going to be spending eternity together, again, laughing about the mistakes that people have made. So I love them, and I honor a lot of their work. But when they get on to apologetics and they give their critique of Van Til, I think you know that the bottom line is this persistent charge: Van Til is a fideist. He is not using rational argumentation. He's rather relying upon fideism. Now, we have to ask ourselves this morning, and I'm going to try to be a little briefer in this lecture than I was in the last one, whether these claims are actually true. And I have found it to be the case that when I address this issue, and I have been doing so for a number of years, either publicly or in private settings, that many times people will say, oh, well, but you're not using the word fideism the way that it's usually used. Well, of course, no scholar likes to be told that he doesn't have his vocabulary right, and so I don't like to have people say that about me. But more importantly, if that's all that's at stake here is how we're using a word, big deal. I mean, if what you mean by fideism is not as I have taken it, to be this kind of irrational exercise of the will based on an experience of Jesus with no kind of objective basis for your faith, If that isn't what you mean by fideism, and you just mean by fideism what Van Til is doing, then thank you, I'm a fideist. But then again, you know, the word doesn't really have a whole lot of content at that point. So what I have done this morning is I brought my file on fideism, where I have photocopied all of the basic resources that you'll find in encyclopedias and dictionaries. There's a lot of stuff in here on fideism, and I won't bore you for the entire time of the lecture, but would you just give me a little space to quote enough of them so that the nail is driven into the coffin very firmly? I quote from a Dictionary of Christian Theology, edited by Alan Richardson. Under fideism, a pejorative term for subjectivist theories which are based upon religious experience and which undervalue reason in theology. Undervalue reason in theology in favor of subjective experience. From the New International Dictionary of the Christian Church, edited by J.D. Douglas, under fideism. A view which assumes that knowledge originates in a fundamental act of faith independent of rational presuppositions. From the Philosophical Dictionary by Walter Brueggemann and Kenneth Baker. Fideism holds that religious truths are inaccessible to human reason and claims that the suprasensible is grasped by a sense of feeling or faith. And then he goes on to say that this reduction of religion to an irrational faith, and he goes on to say things about that. So, again, the reduction of religion to irrational faith based on feeling or an act of the will. Are you getting the point? A Handbook of Theological Terms by Van Harvey. Fideism. The doctrine that Christian assertions are matters of blind faith and cannot be known or demonstrated to be true. The Encyclopedia of Philosophy, edited by Paul Edwards. Fideism. The view that truth in religion is ultimately based on faith rather than on reasoning or evidence. Some fundamental tenets of religion cannot be established by proofs, a kind of irrationalism. The Encyclopedia of Christianity, edited by Philip Edgecombe Hughes. Fideism, an approach to the knowledge of God based upon a leap of faith and a negation of rational constructions, a form of philosophical, theological skepticism. By the way, the person who penned that particular description of fideism is no other than R.C. Sproul. So this is the way Sproul is using the term. It's the way that Montgomery and Pinnock are using the term. And what they're saying is that Dr. Van Til, therefore, does not believe in the use of rationality in apologetics, and that the defense of the faith is really grounded in an exercise of feeling or the will, amounting to skepticism in a blind leap of faith. Well, I've come all the way out from California to tell you that it's so. Dr. Van Til does not hold to that approach to apologetics at all, and I would think you would know that from my first lecture this morning, if nothing else. He argues that there is an objective proof of Christian theism, which is inescapable, that any man who wishes to be rational must accept the existence of God. Sure doesn't sound like fideism to me. Take one more quote here and say something that may kind of turn the tables on the critics. Quoting from the New Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 5, under the article Fideism, we read these words. From fideism in the strict sense, one must distinguish semi-fideism, which holds that man reaches truth by reason, but with probability only, and not with certitude. Man reaches truth by reason, but with probability only, and not with certitude. Now here's the interesting thing. Dr. Van Til maintains that there is an argument for God's existence which provides certitude. One can show that God certainly exists. And I think it's a pretty good argument. You only got one version of it this morning, but I think you can see some of the strength of it. The opponents of Van Til do not believe that you can prove Christianity to be true with certainty. J.P. Moreland, for instance, whose book I alluded to and his debate with Kai Nielsen I alluded to earlier this morning, says that he cannot show God's existence to be true with mathematical certainty. John Warwick Montgomery and Clark Pinnock maintain, and R.C. Sproul joins him in saying that the proof of God's existence can only reach the probability level. Now, we've been told that there's this thing called semi-fideism. It says reason is to be used, but it can only go so far as probability. So let's kind of schematize the situation. If I had a blackboard up here this morning, what I would say is, over on the one side, the extreme called fideism, you have the view that reason has nothing to do with, that the foundation of your religious faith is a blind leap. It's based in feeling, in an exercise of the will. There you have fideism. On this side over here, the other extreme, you have the view that there is a objective proof of the certainty of God's existence. And then somewhere in between those two extremes, you have the view that reason can be shown that very probably there is a God that exists. Now, given that conception of the situation, which is based upon the object of literature here, that's the way we use the terms, where does Dr. Van Til stand? He stands on the exact opposite pole from fideism. And here's the irony. Where do his critics stand? Somewhere in between, right? And yet these are the ones who are calling Van Til the fideist, when as a matter of fact, they are closer to fideism than he is. Presuppositional apologetics is the exact opposite of fideism. The reason why people get confused is because they have a false understanding of the relationship of faith and reason. So that when Van Til says that what we are doing is grounded in faith, when you have a false view of faith and reason, you interpret him to be saying, oh, unreasonable faith, faith apart from reason, or something like that. A few months ago, I had a radio dialogue, kind of a mini debate with George Smith, who is the author of this book, Atheism, The Case Against God. And for commercial purposes, let me just tell you, you can get a tape of that from our tape ministry if you'd like to hear it. One of the things that was crucial to that discussion with George Smith was his understanding of faith as Christians use the term. According to Smith, Christians use the term faith for what reason doesn't cover. It's kind of like faith is the spackle that you put in all the cracks that reason can't get to. And so reason can do all of this and can go, and then Christians come along and they say, okay, now we have faith that makes up the difference for where reason won't take us. Okay, so faith is by definition not reason. Faith is by definition apart from reason. Faith, therefore, is irrational. And I think he was really taken back by the fact that when I dialogued with him on the radio, I said, that is not the Christian conception of faith, George. I do not believe that faith makes up for the defects in reason or goes further than reason. I would argue just the opposite, that without a foundation of faith, reason cannot function. You know, and I would take it from the way he looked at me in the radio studio that I was from outer space. Well, in a sense, my message is from outer space, so that's okay. See, the point here is they think of faith as irrational, and then you hear somebody say everything is based on faith, then you think, oh, well, then they're a fideist, this blind leap, you know, some kind of feeling or exercise of will is what you're talking about. But that's not what I'm talking about, and it certainly is not what Dr. Van Til has been talking about for years. If the debate with unbelievers comes down in principle to a conflict over their ultimate presuppositions, those presuppositions which control all of our reasoning, all of our interpretation of experience, is it the case then that all rational argumentation ceases? That Van Til says presuppositions control your method of reasoning. Presuppositions control your interpretation of experience. Presuppositions control your starting point and your conclusion. And now, if presuppositions control the unbeliever's starting point, method, and conclusion, and if presuppositions control the Christian's starting point, method, then is it possible for them to have any rational interchange or argumentation at all? According to Van Til, argumentation does not cease between those who presuppose and those who espouse not to presuppose the teaching of God's Word. In fact, that was the entire point of chapter 14 in his book, A Survey of Christian Epistemology. It opened by saying, quote, "The question that comes up at once is whether it is then of any use to argue about the Christian theistic position at all with those who are of contrary convictions." And Van Til goes on from there to forcefully refute the notion that it is useless for the regenerate to reason with the unregenerate. He insists we must argue with the unregenerate. And I quote him again, "It is exactly because of our deep conviction that God is one and truth is therefore one, that we hold that there's only one type of argument for all men." He says we mustn't abandon the rational debate with the unbeliever. Instead, and I quote him now, "We cannot choose epistemologies, theories of knowledge. We cannot choose epistemologies as we choose hats, as if the whole thing is but a matter of taste. Rather, those who hold antithetical presuppositions ought to be refuted by a reasoned argument," I'm quoting him, "ought to be refuted by a reasoned argument instead of by ridicule and assumption." And then elsewhere, Van Til says, "Faith is not blind faith. Christianity can be shown to be not just as good as, or even better than, the non-Christian position, but the only position that does not make nonsense of human experience." Once again, Christianity can be shown to be not just as good as or even better than the non-Christian position, but the only position that does not make nonsense of human experience. You see, Van Til does not allow for the argument between believers and unbelievers to be washed out by subjectivism. You know, you've got your taste, I have my taste. You have your desires, I have my desires. You've got your faith commitments, I have my faith commitments. He says, and I quoted this earlier this morning, "There is objective evidence in abundance, and it is sufficiently clear. Men ought, if only they reasoned rightly, to come to the conclusion that God exists. That is to say, that if the theistic proof is constructed as it ought to be constructed, it is objectively valid, whatever the attitude of those to whom it comes may be." Is this fideism? It's the very opposite of fideism. But it's also the insistence that without Christian faith, you can't prove anything. So it is an affirmation of faith as foundational to all reasoning, to all argumentation. But it's not fideism, because the faith being affirmed is a function of reason rather than a jump away from reason into the dark. And so elsewhere, we read of Van Til being decidedly critical of, and I'm quoting him, "the fideistic attitude, which comes through expression frequently in the statement of the experiential proof of the truth of Christianity. People will say that they know that they are saved and that Christianity is true, no matter what the philosophical or scientific evidence for or against it may be. But in thus seeking to withdraw from all intellectual argument, such fideists have virtually admitted the validity of the argument against Christianity. They will have to believe in their hearts what they have virtually allowed to be intellectually indefensible." Sound like an affirmation of fideism? It's a condemnation of fideism. He's saying that the faith is intellectually defensible. He is saying that faith is necessary to make sense out of any reasoning whatsoever. And so I think the commitment of Van Til to a reasoned apologetic rather than to blind authority should be manifest to us. And I quote him again, "It might seem that there can be no argument between them," the believer and the unbeliever. "It might seem that the orthodox view of authority is to be spread only by testimony and by prayer, not by argument. But this would militate directly against the very foundation of all Christian revelation. Fideism, he says, is anti-Christian. And when people who sound very pious tell you the only way we can spread the faith is by testimony and prayer, Van Til saying, in principle, they are undermining the very foundation of the faith. Because the faith maintains that if one does not presuppose the Word of God, one is lost. Not just lost for all eternity, his soul being damned, but one is lost completely trying to live in God's world. One cannot reason correctly without the foundation of faith. One cannot live ethically in a correct way without the foundation of God's Word. And so Van Til says it would militate directly against the very foundation of all Christian revelation if one were to defend Christian revelation by saying all we can do is give a testimony and pray about it. Now, since the argument with the unbeliever is finally over those presuppositions which control all other reasoning and interpretation, what kind of argument can we employ? How can one be rational when one is dealing with those presuppositions that control all your thinking? Well, the kind of argument that one will use is what I have called an argument from the impossibility of the contrary. That is an argument regarding the preconditions of all intelligible experience, logic, science, or ethics. One uses an indirect method of argument, and I quote Van Til, "The method of reasoning by presupposition may be said to be indirect rather than direct. The issue between believers and non-believers in Christian theism cannot be settled by a direct appeal to facts or laws whose nature and significance is already agreed upon by both parties to the debate. The question is rather as to what is the final reference point required to make the facts and laws intelligible." And so what Van Til has told us is that for argument's sake, you must put yourself on the position of the unbeliever. For argument's sake, you say, let me assume that the world is what you say it is. Let me assume your methodology. Let me take your presuppositions and let's see where they take us. And of course, where they're going to take us is to what? Absurdity. They're going to undermine all intelligibility for science, for logic, for human experience and dignity, or for moral absolute, it may be. So I put myself on the unbeliever's position for argument's sake to show that it destroys all human experience. And then I invite the unbeliever to put himself on my position for argument's sake. I said, but now, if you assume the existence of God and the truth of Scripture, you notice that you do have a foundation for logic and for science and for moral absolutes and human dignity and the intelligibility of human experience. And so in his very first syllabus, Van Til wrote, "The Reformed method of argument is first constructive. It presents the biblical view positively by showing that all factual and logical discussions by men take place by virtue of the world's being what God in Christ says it is. It then proceeds negatively to show that unless all facts and all logical relations be seen in the light of the Christian framework, all human interpretation fails instantly. It fails instantly in principle." So an indirect argument is an impossibility of the contrary, where you say, given your worldview, there could be no reason or science or morality. And within the Christian worldview, we can make sense of the science and logic and morality that we have been discussing up to this point. Van Til, therefore, is not a fideist in any sense of the term. Van Til has the most rational argument for the existence of God and the truth of Christianity that's on the market today. The most rational, not because he believes that reason is autonomous, but because he thinks reason can only be saved upon the foundation of Christian faith. This is not a blind leap, therefore. It's not the renunciation of reason. It is the use of reason to show what reason's foundations must be. Not fideism. It's an objective, rational apologetic. Before I conclude these remarks, I think a word is in order about another presuppositionalist that is dear to the hearts of many of us, Gordon Clark. Clark is well known to have, at the end of his scholarly career, written that he was a fideist. I guess after years of being accused of being one, he thought it would be best just to bite the bullet and say, okay, I am. And I have a great deal of respect for Dr. Clark. I disagree with him on some points, and I think he's been valuable on other points. But at this particular point, I don't think that was the method he should have chosen. That's not the strategy that he should have pursued, to just say, all right, everyone's got their faith commitment at the beginning of the reasoning process. I have mine, so I'm a fideist. And when all is said and done, what you're left with is being able to know only those things which are taught in the Bible. One can't even, through the use of his observational skills or through an empirical methodology, know something about the world. And so, as I see it, Dr. Clark's apologetic comes down to something of a Mexican standoff. You know, it's kind of like, you've got your faith commitment, I've got my faith commitment, but at least I have the Bible, so I know some of you don't know anything because you won't accept the Bible. The problem with that, of course, is that, one, I don't think that's a biblical epistemology. We do know things through the use of our senses. At this point, it is often the case that followers of Clark want to know what that methodology is. They want to have some kind of projected theory of sensation by which we can make sense of what we know through our experience. Well, it's not at all necessary to have a theory of sensation in order to know things through your senses. Any more than it's necessary to have a theory of logic in order for you to use logic. What we do know is that the Bible calls upon us to learn about the world through our senses. And we may work for another 100 years developing a theory of sensation that takes account of that or makes sense of that. But the fact is, the Bible teaches we can know things through our senses, not the least of which, the Bible itself, can be known through our senses. Moreover, the Bible assures us, and the Westminster of Faith reassures us, that one can have an infallible assurance of his or her own salvation. Now, when I am not living in persistent sin and there aren't other sorts of reasons why I might have doubts about my salvation, it is possible for me to know infallibly Greg Bahnsen is saved. And yet you cannot find Greg Bahnsen's name in the Bible. And that indicates that I do know something outside of the Bible, which I add to biblical premises by which the inference is drawn, the conclusion is drawn, that I am saved. And I can know that certainly. So I think the Bible tells us that we can know things outside the Bible. We can know things by our senses, even if we don't have a complicated theory of sensation by which we can account for that. The question is not then, how do I know by my senses, but whether I know by my senses. And I think the Bible says I do. Consequently, I would not encourage people to take the approach to fideism and rationality that we find in Dr. Clark, as he may be on many other points. I would not want it thought that what we have here is a Mexican standoff, that expression being used of people, you know, they can't destroy one another. All they can do is just keep on fighting and end up destroying themselves. We don't have people who are in the same leaky boat of having a faith commitment at the beginning of their thinking, and we're all sinking. What we have, I believe, according to Dr. Van Til's teaching, is that if you start with biblical faith, You can give an account of the rationality, science, and morality that all men attempt to use, and therefore can save rationality. And if you don't take that worldview, you cannot. Paul said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Hasn't God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And in the 3 lectures that I've brought to you this weekend, I hope in some small measure, you see more of an illustration of that very dynamic and that challenge. That when we try to live our lives in this world, even in the socio-political realm, if one will not submit to the wisdom of God, then one will end up with destruction. And when it comes to our reasoning process and our thinking and our intellect, if one will not make the Christian faith the foundation of all that he or she does, then one will be reduced to foolishness, as Paul says in Romans 1. So I hope that you'll take those words home with you this weekend and have a greater appreciation for the fact that the Christian worldview not only saves us from all eternity, for all eternity, but it saves us for this life as well. Thanks.
This recording has been released into the public domain by the Bonson Institute. Duplication, sharing, and distribution is encouraged. For more information about the life and ministry of Dr. Greg L. Bonson, visit our website, bonsoninstitute.com, where we aim to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.